You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hello everyone, this is Nick, and we're recording from the large echoey classroom that I sometimes teach from. Welcome this week to our 200th movie, and we have a great cast for you, the standards, Daniel and Matt, and regular and excellent component to our little show there, Steve. As you can see at this point, we've done a oft-request terrible movie, Wild Wild West, and that means, yes, in about 2 minutes, you'll be hit with that sweet, sweet theme song. So this movie is weird, it's racist, it's out of date, and I think I managed to hold back all the weird stories I have about it. But, you know, that's the kind of stuff you can ask us later. But, you know, at this point, I want to just thank you. We started this project almost, well, more than 5 years ago now. And we've done 200 movies and a bunch of little side things, and I just can't thank you enough for your continued support of our little venture. I hope you guys have a wonderful Labor Day weekend, and I can announce that after a bunch of you voted in our Twitter poll, next month we will be doing our Hunting Humans for Sport month, which won by, I think, 44% of the vote. And don't worry, we'll come back to some of those other ideas later. But I just wanted to thank you guys for all you do. For those of you who are listening for the first time, because I guess you enjoy hearing people talk about how bad Wild Wild West is, we are Myopia Defender Childhood. You can find us on podcast apps everywhere, including we're on Podbean and Overcast and, you know, all of them, Stitcher. We're on Spotify, too. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And I have a Letterboxd page as well. Thanks.
How deep?
DragonCon 2019 is fast approaching, so fill up your buckets of rum and keep up with the latest news, announcements, interviews, and mispronunciations of guest names as only the Con Report podcast crew can make. Let us be your guide each month as we count down to the big event on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite media player. Listen to the DragonCon Con Report. It's almost as good as being there, but without the long lines, smelly gamers, and hangovers.
When I stroll into the Wild Wild West, when I bounce into the Wild Wild West, Cisco, Cisco.
Once upon a time in the West. There's a hum, I can't get rid of it. Right, yeah, we're good. Welcome to Myopia Defend Your Childhood. Ladies and gentlemen, This is our 200th movie.
Woo!
This is season 6. So 5 years ago, when I first got Scott and Steve into the room, and we did Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I was just a young lad back then.
And before we had to kill Scott, of course, ritualistically, to keep the podcast going. Before we had 35,000 people who had listened to us. And before I'd even really gotten in touch with Daniel, we tried to put together a podcast. And now we've done side episodes and weird episodes and episodes that don't really fit into the continuum. So we've renumbered to establish just movies we've done and movies we've done once. So movies we redid for Bond, which we don't count anymore. 200. And so we decided to do a big one, obviously, for those who have looked. We've done Barry Sonnenfeld's and John Peters, you know, the producer.
Good Lord, you just made that joke, didn't you?
Wild Wild West.
Monkey Wild, Wild Wild.
Uncle Nick has a whiskey, everybody. He's celebrating in style.
He's celebrating the masterpiece that is
Uncle Nick is going to get more and more interesting as the evening goes on.
Yeah. Well, I just celebrated my 34th birthday. I'm almost interesting in age, too.
I'm 35 now. I'm really old and decrepit.
Yeah, just horrible. I used to have a beard, for those of you who've seen pictures of me, and now I don't. And my students are like, you look younger. and all the seniors I teach are like, why'd you shave your beard?
You look like a really old baby.
What's are you sick? Is this what it looks like when you're 30? I'm like, yeah, only if I drink when I'm teaching.
Yeah, which means if you're teaching.
I don't know, guys. So we decided to do a movie that everyone has requested us we do for reasons. this came out in 1999. I was a freshman in high school. And everyone else around the table is a little younger than me, except for Matt, who's a skosh older. But you were also a freshman in high school, and you guys were probably in middle school.
I'm pretty sure I was 11 when this came out.
99?
It was like early summer 99, so it would have been the year I turned 12. But
yeah, that's middle school.
Yeah. Yeah, probably like roller skating around a gymnasium or something. All right,
I was 14 when 9/11 happened, if that's like going to get us on the timeline of my age.
Yeah, these are the milestones in my childhood. Were when did 9/11 happen, and when did the Wild Wild West? Oh, yeah. When was that released?
No. When did Big Willie style come out? That was the true defining moment.
I mean, 19 years into the millennium, and I mean,
well, it's been very disappointing, Will.
That's my first question for new dates. Where were you when Will Smith starred Wild Wild West?
When he strolled into the Wild Wild West.
When he was when he rolled the Wild
into
Wild,
the Wild Wild West.
And he went straight to that Wild Wild West.
Him and Drew Hill and Cisco, apparently.
Back in the day when it was Universal Pictures and Disney going for Song of the Year, and you have on one hand Men in Black, and on the other hand, I guess, A Whole New World. I don't know. I don't know how years work.
Oh, good. No, I mean, this would have been the year of Blame Canada and the Tarzan soundtrack.
Speaking of Robin Williams, which may have been off mic at this point, but we were talking about Robin Williams, and if I recall correctly, at the Academy Awards that year, he sang Blame Canada.
He did indeed.
Yeah. Oh, I guess we should go around the table. For our 200th episode, I'm Nick Hoffman, host of My OP Defend Your Childhood and Riff Ron, the award-winning Cineprop show, live show. And on panel we have
Matthew W. Quinn, author and snarky asshole.
Steve-O, master of nothing.
Hello, this is Daniel, and I hope to at least get one of the Dakotas to retire in.
Suddis land, like the Sudetenland?
Why not?
Will you get the fanciest, pointiest of hats?
well, I just want one of them Dakotas.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know where to start with this, but we are roughly 4 minutes in. Go ahead.
I think I can start with this. Okay, so 2 years before this, Men in Black came out, and I assume everybody around the table saw Men in Black back in the day, right?
Yep.
Of course.
You know, in theaters.
You're right. And it was a huge hit, and I think that was like the second big movie that Will Smith actually carried, the first being Independence Day. So they
Welcome to Earth.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, sure. There's only one way off this planet, baby. Okay.
And a giant mechanical spider.
So this was an attempt to really do a Men in Black sequel because it's the same director. It's Will Smith. It's another Academy Award-winning actor as the side character who's supposed to be the old grizzled experienced person. But it's just so wrong for so many reasons.
But so right.
No, it's not right. Nothing about this is right.
Yeah, I'm not sure grizzled is the way to describe Kevin in this film.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, Tommy Lee Jones, so they were trying to get an older Oscar winner in there, and I guess somehow they landed on Kevin Klein.
M. Emmett Walsh.
Oh, yeah, well they just offered him a big handle of whiskey, and he's like, I'll do your movie.
There's a lot of green screens, right? I can be drunk. Let's go for it.
Well, I mean, that's the first thing we have to talk about. Men in Black is the Muppet Show on ice. I don't know how to describe it, but like there's a
wait, on ice.
Well, because I mean, who's
maybe
the guy
ice is the latest drug these days.
Okay, that's what
who's that the guy was who plays the Kingpin.
Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yeah, D'Onofrio as the Bugman. His CGI is fine until it turns into absolute garbage in the final scene. Mm. But everyone turns into not a Muppet, because Muppets are things that exist in the real world. He turns into like I don't know, a CGI porn image. Like, it's the cheapest CGI rendering thing.
See, I remember,
but it's cartoony and it works.
I remember Vincent D'Onofrio's makeup being really good because there's like scenes of his teeth rotting out of his skull.
That is real. I'm talking about Act 3 when he turns into...
Oh, when he's the cockroach. All right.
Yeah.
Well, when he turks... It's something that ends up in Joe's garage. Like, you know, yeah. Like, it's...
You mean Joe's apartment,
Joe's
right?
Apartment. Joe's garage, I guess, is the porn parody? I don't know. I was thinking of the Frank Zappa album, I guess.
I'm pretty sure Joe's garage was a coffee shop in the Little Five for about 6 months.
Until it was closed for reasons similar to the cockroach we were talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Big, big cockroach.
They're
drinking all their lattes.
This, at points, looks better... Well, it looks like Ocarina of Time? Because there's like a spear that goes through a train that comes through like a cartoon long shot.
Well, I think we've discovered one thing throughout this series. Is CGI in the 90s... looked like shit, but everybody thought it looked great, so that was going to be their shortcut to whenever they had a complex effect to pull off. And with a few exceptions, it didn't work.
It's like very polarizing for me, actually, because you're right. Like, the special effects were garbage, but they mixed it with practical effects. Like, take the scene where the spider's blowing up trains, and it's like shitty 4 frames of MS Paint, and then a train actually explodes, and it's kind of cool, but... It's just such a jarring experience.
Or the weird steampunk cyborgs that they're fighting in the third act, where it's like, you know, actual makeup, so it looks like a guy that actually just is a robot with skin.
They look good and kind of terrifying. On it. Why do they exist in this reality? Who gives a shit? But
actually, that's
what Dr. Arliss Loveless, of course. Right. That's why they exist in this reality.
Okay, are we sure you're not doing Kevin Spacey in House of Cards there?
Are they different people, sir?
No, they're not.
Now, just because the giant peach has an ass doesn't mean that I can't take over the world using giant robot spiders.
Fucking hell, that Gaffney Water Tower. I've driven by that so many times.
I know you have. Okay, so let's just talk for a brief minute.
As we're saying, Gaffney, I thought this movie was hilarious.
You certainly did.
I was on yonder couch, and Mr. Quinn thought it was the funniest movie he's seen.
Why, he was laughing so hard, I thought his gut would burst out.
I was apparently the only one who was.
Yeah, pretty much. The rest of us were like going, that's not how magnets work.
It's called suspension of disbelief, good sir.
And to quote the ICP, how do magnets work? Magnets, how do they work?
I still don't know.
All I know, good sir, is I don't want to hear from no scientists. Those fuckers be lying and getting me pissed.
We all know that the world was made in 7,000 years and that... There can't possibly be global warming if it snows in the winter.
I have no idea if those were the correct lyrics, but considering that only juggalos would care, I don't care.
I mean, I guess you lost seven of your fan base.
But... Yeah, you've just offended the key juggalo demographic.
Oh, well.
The swing vote that switched Michigan.
Well, the key juggalo demographic was on the couch laughing at this movie during the entire time.
Yeah. So,
I do declare, so why do you think I am a juggalo?
All right, so let's
Well, right now you're wearing juggalo face paint, man.
Yeah.
Are you sure? Maybe you've been drinking again. That Blue Moon.
We need to drop this shit.
Come on, this is hilarious.
I'm going to edit that part out.
Why don't you give us a plot synopsis for the 140th time?
Oh, good Lord, how many times has it been? Okay.
It'll never end.
No.
Well, I guess it depends if people show up to listen.
This is the curse of the being able to remember things.
Okay, so it's around two characters. One is a captain in the U.S. Army called James West, and that's Will Smith, who is determined to kill the man who caused the massacre at New Liberty, where apparently his family was killed.
Yep.
The other man is Artemis Gordon, who is basically steampunk Q. He's obsessed with inventing technology that wouldn't exist for another half century and plopping it into the Old West, which, you know what, fine. I'm not actually going to give that any shit. Anyway, these two are assigned to team up by Ulysses S. Grant.
Your microphone is pointing at your chest.
Okay.
Tilt it up just a little. There you go.
Do you want me to start from the beginning?
Fine, but just from now on, don't speak into your titties.
But I like doing
with
that.
With buckwheat in them.
All right, I'm gonna start from Ulysses S. Grant. Okay.
They are hypnotizing me.
It's your edit.
Oh my goodness.
Man, you do what you want.
All right. Good Lord. Okay, so Ulysses S. Grant hires these
sibilance.
Two.
Sibilance.
President Grant hires these two to work together to try and figure out why a former Confederate general is transporting weapons and who exactly threatened the White House with a letter demanding the surrender of the U.S. government in a cake filled with tarantulas. And they find out it's part of a larger plot between McGrath, who, by the way, is Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs.
Ted Levine.
Mm-hmm. And a guy named Dr. Lovelace, who is half the man he used to be after the Civil War, who is developing a steampunk weapon, steampunk spider, massive tank sort of thing, to get the U.S. to surrender, and thus he'll divide it and give all the territory back to the original powers that controlled the land.
Well, he has some land to retire.
Oh, yeah.
In the Dakotas.
No, I mean, it's pretty much the Midwest to the Northwest, so it's Trump land, basically.
He's got Idaho and Utah and Nevada. It's going to be amazing.
Well, he's got
those
five evil women backing him up, so Utah would fit just fine.
Oh, like Amazonia and Munitia and
Castradia.
And Rita.
And the woman who keeps making East meets West jokes.
Her name was East.
Was it Bonia, part of his...
He thought Will Smith was.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Salma Hayek is in this movie because apparently Lovelace has kidnapped scientists and one of them is her father, or so she claims. But yeah, she's just along for a bunch of jokes about boobies.
Well, yeah, because the two men just keep catfighting over her constantly.
Pretty much.
Well, and she's seducing him to make sure that there's interest in her constantly.
Yeah, what was up with that Casablanca scene when they're pulling out of the train station and she's like got half her chest exposed and the other one, her hand against her heart, and she's going, goodbye.
And then how does she end up on the train?
She discards her cloak and is just tastefully exposing her breasts.
Yeah.
This was half the movie, spoilers.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. This movie is utterly a mess, and I'm not going to steal any stories because you need to listen to other people be better than we are. But
better than us after 200 movies?
Yeah, well, this is kind of Kevin Smith's only story, so you can listen to it. But he was expected to write Batman. He was on the staff to write the Superman movie, the one with Nick Cage as Superman
and the mullet.
Yeah,
exactly. And the producer was the producer of this, and he said, we need a giant spider. Long story short, Selma Hayek gets pulled away from Dogma early to do this. I mean, he tells the story everywhere. It's on his first like Netflix special where he's talking to the audience. It's also in the episode he does on this movie for Wild Wild West on How Did This Get Made?
Mm-hmm.
But one way or another, you could tell that Selma Hayek is here only for TNA, and it makes no sense. And then John Peters, who was Barbara Streisand's
hairdresser,
who becomes a producer on all of her movies, who at one point ran Sony Pictures.
He also produced the Tim Burton Batman.
Yeah, he had a thing about spiders, and it's right here, and that's why he's no longer working in Hollywood.
He
bankrupted Sony. Which is why they're skeptical about outsiders controlling their business anymore, which is why Spider-Man is no longer in the MCU. So,
oh boy.
You can tell exactly when we're recording this, I guess.
Now, why the hell didn't Peters save the giant spider for Spider-Man?
I have no answers for you, only more questions. For example, why is the hair so terrible if he's a hairstylist? There's a mullet on Lovelace that could beat the band. It could have been feathered. It could have been delicious.
Look, here's the thing. Lovelace does have a finite amount of money, and when you pay your barber that much to sculpt your glorious, intricate beard, there's not a lot left for the rest of you. You know what I'm saying?
It's the Tony Stark effect. You look at that face and you're like, man, who cares about the rest?
He's like Elon Musk. He's spending all of his money on giant robotic spiders and giant and giant hydraulic dicks. There's not enough money for a barber.
He came out with a flamethrower last year. This year, spiders? There's a nose pad somewhere, a legal pad somewhere with spiders and a question
mark. Have you guys heard of trebuchets? I've got saws.
And it's nice. Going to be open sourced.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, here's the weird thing, and this is more into the high-minded stuff before we get back to Salma Hayek's boobs.
Wiki Wild.
And the Wiki Wiki Wild and the mullets. Men in Black, the opening scene established who these people were, how Tommy Lee Jones fit in, and established them as basically a group of people who's like, oh, okay, this world we're living in is perfectly normal to a certain group of people, and Will Smith was the outsider.
You mean like a movie?
Yeah, like a movie.
Like a movie.
Here, we're introduced by to the two leads, thusly. First,
sure, the dead air is exactly what we needed.
That's what editors are.
Yeah, yeah.
Me in this case.
I'm so sorry, Daniel.
First, we're introduced to Will Smith as he's having sex in the town water supply with a character who is credited as Girl in the Water Tower in the credits.
She was girl. Poor girl. She was everything this movie.
Well, and he's pretending to make out with her while
he's looking through the knot. And
so his facial expressions, that scene, are actually really funny.
They pulled that joke too long because maybe for like 2 seconds it would have worked, but this is like a thing where he's just doing that for like a good 20 seconds after we've gotten
like
the
Family
punchline.
Guy, the jokes just go on too long. The
That's movie not was, a compliment.
Yeah, I know that. I thought it was all the jokes that were funny but should have stopped earlier.
It's true. It felt like they hired a joke consulting firm that either wasn't way, as funny as advertised.
That's a difference between this and Men in Black, because Men in Black worked by setting up that dynamic. In this case, Will Smith is supposed to be an equal, or at least somebody who's fully familiar with this world and how it works. And then we're introduced to his older, supposedly wiser partner, where he's wearing drag and trying to seduce a former Confederate general.
It's true.
He's
introduced
in an obvious falsetto voice.
Oh, I'm sorry, dear. I'm afraid that won't be possible. I have tonsillitis.
He's introduced as the comic relief in scene one, and it's kind of jarring, to be honest.
Well, that's the dynamic's all wrong, because then, frankly, based on those two introductions, I'd expect Will Smith to be the action hero and Kevin Kline to be the person who is the newbie. He's like the person who doesn't understand how this world works.
He's the leash. He's the scientist in the leash, right? He's always got to pull. He's got to pull Will Smith back into reality.
For a second, I said pull Will Smith back into rehab.
Right into rehab.
No. The Church of Scientology has that taken care of.
Oh, yikes.
Well, and it's not even the reality versus the unreality. It's, you're right. Someone should be the hard scrabble person and someone should be the comic relief.
Right.
And first of all, I've seen I Am Legend. And watching Will Smith kill a dog is nothing I ever need to see again.
Oh, yeah.
But the problem with all those movies, I, Robot, I Am Legend, you know, like After Earth, Will Smith is a charming, charismatic everything. He needs to be Roger Moore's James Bond all the time. So the straight man should be Kevin Kline. He should be Q, who's constantly befuddled. But everyone has to make joke em ups in this movie. It's so muddy.
It's painful. Like I said, they hired like a consulting firm that's, I've got the trends on the jokes, and they just didn't land, and they didn't age well.
To Steve's point, nothing is worse than the Bond meeting the Villain scene when it's Arliss Loveless versus Jim West, and it's the classic mix em up. Of African Americans versus the handicaps.
Oh,
and so it's like, I haven't seen you in a coon's age.
Well, that is an actual line in the movie, but then good lord, man.
I wish you would stand up to see me. And you're just like, so we have a guy who can't stand and a black guy, and it's only going to be racial slurs versus versus anti, like, ADA, like, references that would get you fired.
Look, you know what this the writers needed? Group is interns. Do you know how much we spent on the CGI? Deal with it, right?
Do you know what this needed? This needed not Kevin Kline to be in it, but, like, an old Western actor. So they probably could have never gotten Clint Eastwood to go along with this, but it needed somebody like that to be in this movie.
F off, man. They had M. Emmett Walsh. He should have just been floating around going, you're black, so-and-so, and just...
That's kind of what he was doing.
Yeah. But he never went that far, right?
Well, he made that homophobic joke in the middle of the movie.
Oh, my God. Wait.
You got to set the scene up, because it is baffling.
Oh,
Kevin
boy.
Kline was dressed like a woman for most of this, because this is a Tex Avery cartoon. And,
or a Monty Python sketch.
And Will Smith goes up to him and goes, I could tell you were a man the whole time because X. And they settle on boobies because this is the 40-year-old virgin.
Like bag of sand.
Yeah, exactly. And he goes, what's wrong with my boobs? Touch my boobs. And he goes, see, the problem is your boobs are too hard.
No, he first praises that they're scientifically and medically accurate as he puts them on.
Kline does.
They're scientifically perfect.
Oh, by the way, Mr. Fishoder used to be an actor who was in live-action movies and won an Oscar back in the 80s.
For? What did he win the Oscar for?
Fish Called Wanda.
Well, you have to sell people that. I mean, like, yes, we I had this conversation as
right.
For... white guys with brown hair around a table. We talked about movies before.
All right, I'll start again and edit this part out. Okay, so Mr. Fishoder.
Kevin Kline.
Kevin Kline.
Let me try number two. Kevin Kline. Yeah.
The guy who's married to that very.
Phoebe Cates.
Yes, Phoebe Cates from Gremlins and Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yeah.
Won an Oscar for A Fish Called Wanda back in the day.
Of all things.
Yeah, I think...
Because when I saw A Fish Called Wonder, I thought, Academy Award!
You know what? This movie would have been totally worth it if just, like, halfway through it, he called somebody an asshole.
Oh, God. I mean, not to disrupt your point, which there wasn't one, but...
No, there wasn't.
If there was, this movie screams PG-13. I mean, our cold open on Will Smith is him, his banging in the city's water supply.
Banging is a strong term.
Well, but that's just it. Like, first of all, it's a gross idea. It's the town's water, man. You don't need to be naked floating around just getting ode to ball sweat in the town's water supply. But B, he's working. And you let Will Smith work. It's funny, but... Everything about this is so PG-13. It's weird, man.
It feels painfully forced. It's not like...
May I share a story at this point?
Please do.
You may.
All right, I may. I saw this back in the theater back in the day.
Yeah.
And my brother and I somehow managed to end up in that theater because, you know, we were both fans of Men in Black, and we'd seen that in theaters as well. So PG-13 at the time, even though we were a little younger than that, was just sort of like, meh, it might be a little more graphically violent, but that's nothing that they can't handle.
They're going to say shit.
Well, even right. Beyond that, that was okay. But there, the amount of sex jokes that was in this movie back in the day, full disclosure, my mom had to be in the theater with us.
Oh, of course.
Which was there were a lot of awkward sideways glances when we were walking out.
Did you guys lock eyes for just a moment?
No. We avoided the eye contact.
After the hydraulic dick scene.
Eye contact was avoided.
The hydraulic cock. And you were like, boy, if I lock eyes with mom right now... It's going to be awkward.
Frankly, I didn't understand that joke at the time. Let's be honest.
The obvious, like, steam coming off of it. Like,
I was 11 years old.
Look,
come on,
it's a
man.
Steam engine dick joke, you guys.
Well, I mean, and, like, at one point, like, Kevin Kline's character, like, Artemis.
Yeah.
Has this thing where he flips out his wrist and, like, a notepad comes out. That Seth MacFarlane is just like, what if we kept cutting away to jokes that no one gets?
Right.
Well, they should be cutting away faster because, you, like Seth MacFarlane, you know, Family Guy, the jokes just go on too long.
Seth MacFarlane isn't Family Guy. You're right.
The jokes go on too long.
This came out the same year. Family Guy came out the same year as this.
Yep.
Wow.
The Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, same year.
That is a factual fact.
Wiki. Well, in fact, Family Guy came out first.
Oh, goodness.
Right? Because it came out Super Bowl, which is January or February.
Yeah.
99 might have been early February. Because you told your story. I've only seen half this movie before because I was trying to make out with my friend's girlfriend. Or my friend's sister, excuse me.
Why, Nick? We didn't know you were into polyamory.
My friend's sister, I saw it at his house. Must have been right after it came out, so early 2000. This movie didn't hold my attention. Eventually, she left the room, and it still didn't hold my attention. So, you know.
You have a better story than me.
No, not really. I mean, I told you my story when we did 101 Dalmatians. It was the sixth grade date.
Oh, yeah.
My mom was in the background, so I'm like, oh, let's watch the dog movie.
Oh, jeez.
No, acne is attacking.
My God, you're greasy.
Rick, can you save me from the dog movie to the awkward date, please?
It was the Morty right there.
I went from pimple-faced Teen Simpsons right into Morty.
Yeah, yeah.
They all sound the same anyway.
Oh, God. High school and movies and dates are the worst, aren't they?
I saw The Incredibles on my first date, so yay.
So can we talk about
The Incredibles was good.
Can we talk about Metal Lurch for a second? Where did this guy come from?
Well, I mean, okay, so Nocta Loveless has come up with all sorts of automatons.
Are these the scientists? So Loveless captured a herd of scientists, and we don't see a goddamn single one of them.
Except Salma Hayek's father husband.
Yeah, except for the, you know.
Her daddy.
Yeah, except for Eric Estrada, like...
Which, that was another thing I didn't get when I first saw this back as an 11-year-old. I got the whole, Salma Hayek's being held in a cage in his bedroom. That's kind of weird. But all the gear that was above the bed...
Yeah, the, like, sex torture?
Well,
kind of...
Don't you think that if I could invent all this machinery, I could invent some sort of way to pleasure a woman?
Now, at first I thought, oh,
the
that's...
penthouse forum, you won't believe what happened to me.
Now, at first I thought, oh, that's just how he has to get into bed with all the leathers and pulleys and the,
No, it's a fuck dungeon.
Yeah, I know that now. It's a fuck dungeon.
Someone read that People magazine article on Steven Seagal and they made it themselves.
Oh, no, that's just too depraved.
We already did
What's that line from...
With my mother-in-law.
What's that line from Fifty Shades of Grey? Something about his desires being unusual?
No, you think you mean sign on the dotted line, initial here, here, and here. I made money off pornographic fan fiction. I said that like an old person.
Do you feel... When do you feel the shame of that? Is it taking the check or like writing it off on your taxes?
No, it's cashing it, then rolling around nude in the money.
There you go.
All right.
Perhaps writing it in the first place.
Yeah. So, I'll be honest. The first 20...
No. You shut for a second. Do you feel guilty when you wrote fan fiction?
Mine was not bizarre porno fan fiction.
No, but that's literally the question. You're right there. It's a bug.
Yeah, I know it's a bug.
I see the bug.
Okay. I wanted to make sure other people saw the bug.
We see the bug.
Yeah, now it's going under the door.
I also live in Georgia. There are bugs in my house.
Yeah,
sometimes.
For the record, it's been like 95 degrees plus the past like 3 weeks. So I guess all the bugs are coming inside.
You know what's crazy? When I was in India, I'm assuming all this is getting edited out. But
I don't know, Daniel, bless your fucking socks.
Like in Bangalore, it was 80 degrees as a high every day. It was like a fucking paradise there, except for the crazy ass.
I know. I was gonna say. I just wait one day for global warming to break, and then we end up in like a 70 degree summer.
We'll be in a permafrost.
I was gonna say. Like it's gonna be
fucking
flooding
finally.
Up into Macon, the beach is gonna be in Macon. All of a sudden, we're gonna be like, oh yes. It's cool.
Lake Lanier will be a glacier again.
Stevie, would you like another mint julep?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Dr. Arliss Loveless says you should plant some trees. Lots and lots of trees.
So for real, where did Frankencock come from?
Good lord.
Well,
I mean,
probably one of the 1.21 gigawatts to get an erection.
That was a $2 million CGI joke that was unnecessary.
That's probably the first thing he thought of when he had his lower half of his body blown off. I mean, the man's got
to get a wiki wild.
A man has got to have his priorities in order.
Yeah, but they've got the steampunk fetish going, and they had to come to a climax somewhere.
Felt anything from that?
It's all in your head, sir.
So the steam pack.
No, you think he cares about women?
Jesus. So the steampunk climax. Okay,
do you think
so
it works like a leaf blower? He has to like keep pulling on a cord, going. Well, I'm sorry, missus. Sometimes the ripcord takes a little while. Ah, there we go.
I forgot to apply the choke. Hold on, ladies.
There's actually a movie where they make that joke. I think it's called like Space Pirates or something.
I do not care in the slightest.
You know a movie called Space Pirates.
And I think Dennis Hopper's in it.
Why didn't we watch
I
Space
doubt
Pirates?
That severely. So,
where are we? We were at a sex dungeon at one point.
Yeah.
And a steampunk dick.
No. I want to see where Steve was coming from.
So, I don't know where I'm coming from. The steam. I would have actually liked this movie if it weren't what it was, right? If it were like a Borderlands, like Western, I don't know, like, were there zombies in this movie? Like, they pushed the steampunk thing.
Lurch like, a little it bit. It didn't like seem like it was that smart.
It felt like they experimented with things that they knew were going to be cool or thought were going to be cool. Like, what's this whole steampunk thing?
Well,
like, what's the Wild West when you take it out of context? Like, let's see what Will Smith can do when he's the lead in a movie that's like a joke-em-up and doesn't take itself too seriously. But it sucked. Like, where was the, like, if, like, Tim Burton directed this film, maybe, like, if the whole steampunk Wild West thing were dark as shit, that would have been cool.
Have you ever seen Briscoe County Jr.?
I have not.
Bruce?
Yeah, with Bruce. That's pretty much a steampunk Western. It was a TV show that only lasted, like, one season on Fox.
It's like what Westworld wanted to be, but was just too joke-em-up and shitty. To be courageous enough to be really weird.
I'm sorry, are you calling Briscoe County Jr. shitty?
No. I'm calling this movie shitty.
He's going to challenge you to a duel, sir, for insulting Briscoe County Jr.
I want to emphasize what Steve said. The problem is it didn't pick a focus.
Yeah.
It should have been either too silly or a straight Bond movie, and it was neither.
It should have been.
Fluctuating back and forth. Because like if it went full Roger Moore, like James Bond, for example, it could have been silly. But the cross-dressing and then everyone else cross-dressing and then, like, talking about the cross-dressing, it feels weird. Well, and first of all, you shouldn't have it in a movie in 1999. And it's not that cross-dressing... I mean, trust me, Tyler Perry has a career, so, you know, whatever. But it's not a gag. He's only a woman when he does those roles.
Well, here's the weird thing about that whole aesthetic to it.
Tyler Perry's terrible?
No, not Tyler Perry. Yes, he is.
Make a sequel with Tyler Perry.
He was fine in Gone Girl. He was perfectly fine. But anyway, the whole thing about the aesthetic is there's only two people who are aware of it, and that's Artemis Gordon and Lovelace. They're the only ones who are familiar with any sort of steampunk technology, which doesn't make any sense.
Well, and they don't know what to do with Gordon, which bothers me.
He should have been the Q. He should have been the one who's like driving the steampunk technology.
And he also should not have been in the thing other than reluctantly, right? He should have been in the Q labs doing shit and been like, I can't go wrong. And then Smith is like, I don't know how this works. You have to come with me. And then he should have been all elbows, right? Everything about this yells that it's the wrong character in the piece.
Yeah.
Because at the end, everyone's a Lothario. Everyone's flirting with the main girl. Everyone, like, you don't need that competition. That's why Bond movies work. Bond is Bond. Everyone else wishes they were Bond. And then there's a Villain who's forcing people to think he's Bond.
Yeah.
Well, you never know what there's some sort of, you know, bizarre behind the scenes sexual rivalry between James Bond and Q.
Oh, good lord.
But just because he was old.
Q never sees a woman in any but maybe two movies. Like, but that's the game. It's like someone heard about Bond movies but never watched one, right?
Yeah.
That's the whole problem with this movie. I mean, we're riffing on it because I have nothing better to do and then bourbon was invented. But this has 17% on Rotten Tomatoes. It ruined Will Smith's career, let's be honest.
Did it?
Sure. Well, he was nominated for an Oscar like right after this movie.
Yeah, he was Ali. Yeah.
But that movie made no money. Right?
Well, time to hit up IMDb.
Yeah. I'm not going to, but just I'd rather depend on my memories for this.
At least give me this. It's the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, we're living in an era where the last major movie he was in was After Earth, and that was 5 years ago, and it
was Suicide Squad, which was also a dump truck fire.
For 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He is Will Smith, and so a subtle wink, and he's the most charismatic person in anything.
But he was in the live-action Aladdin.
Ooh.
Which I have. Have y'all seen that?
I listened to the soundtrack and nah.
I just saw the clip of Prince Ali and he sounded like he was asleep.
I wanted to see it, but it looked terrible.
Well, I will be on Steve's side. I will see it one day.
You will see it?
One day when alcohol is invented that's strong enough.
No, because I have a toddler tot and, you know, when you buy a Blu-ray and it says digital copy, you sell all of the physical copies and you keep that digital copy and then you leave the room when people watch it.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Because we're talking about it, one note to Disney, you have movies where humans are the main characters. Why can't you do those? Why isn't Frozen live action yet? Why isn't Hunchback of Notre Dame live action yet? Because those have people, you know.
Probably because
have you not been to the Frozen on Ice yet?
Probably because
let it go.
Right?
It will never heal.
It won't.
Probably because the original Hunchback of Notre Dame, besides a few scenes, wasn't actually all that great.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, but at least
sorry,
it had
everyone.
People.
Well, like, it also had those
Hunchback to say Lion King, Hunchback directly to Jungle Book.
It also had those stupid gargoyles that brought the whole movie down.
You know what's easier to animate than hyenas?
Gargoyles?
Yeah, girl.
Why George Costanza? Why did George Costanza have to be Disney comic relief?
I don't know. I watched Hercules. Everyone was comic relief, even the plot.
Oh, yeah, good point.
God. Hades was like, hey, you know, I...
Yeah, back
James
when...
Miller?
No, it was James Woods back before he went crazy.
Yeah.
You know, what if we made America great again? You know, Hercules?
Make Mount Olympus great again by bringing the Titans back?
Make Spartan great again. You know, more kids.
I really enjoyed that scene where Hades stuck his hand into his like stomach vagina and pulled out a gun and... It's a Videodrome joke, people.
We're making Criterion references on Wild Wild West.
Criterion DVD of Wild Wild West.
When I roll into the...
Wild Wild... Oh, well, it would include the music video, no doubt. I remember that premiered on MTV. Does anybody else remember seeing that?
All I ever watched on MTV in that era was Celebrity Deathmatch.
You were missing out.
And they actually there's still some music videos sometimes.
Matt nailed it because I saw that episode where it was Seinfeld versus Tim Allen.
And, that's right.
And Seinfeld not only won, but then after he won, the other cast members tore him apart. Kramer even has the line, if I recall correctly. They were willing to give us $1 million an episode, Jerry. And you said no. Fuck you. And then he tore his head. Celebrity Deathmatch needs to come back yesterday.
And yes, it does. And that is the literal conclusion to this movie.
Well, I mean, the entire thing kind of just is a Celebrity Deathmatch, especially with the chemistry between the two leads. It's both of them just mocking each other.
Oh, I mean, this is the cheapest like cop-out we've ever done, because other than Daniel's plot synopsis. We have not talked about this movie.
What's there to talk? Well, no. Besides the steam.
There's a lot of extremely tasteless jokes, which I find hilarious. Apparently, you guys don't.
No. What was your favorite tasteless joke? What was your favorite tasteless joke? Please don't include a racial slur, because there were racial slurs in this
impatient
movie.
Impatient tapping.
Okay, so even the jokes weren't memorable, ladies and gentlemen.
There was a lot of casual, tasteless racism.
Look, here's kind of the thing, which I am sure is a scene that lasted from the original draft to the final draft, which was Artemis Gordon inventing, creating Da Vinci's flying machine.
Yeah, I thought Da Vinci's flying machine was kind of a helicopter.
That thing looked
like a hang glider.
It was
an Air Gordon, which I thought that was funny.
It was the Air
you
Gordon.
You were the only one
I've noticed.
Well, I mean, like, but that's all the gags. Like, the problem is this movie is herky-jerky as though it had two writers. Someone wrote a plot, and then someone was writing gags because the movie kept stopping and doing gags. It's like the cross-dressing gags, which happened three times.
Well, what I'm sure happened, and just the way the movie feels, is they filmed a script, they showed it to an audience, the audience didn't understand it, so it's like, okay, we're going to go back and shoot another hour's worth of footage and just awkwardly insert that. And I'm sure that's where all the cross-dressing and the drag jokes come from and all
and the lynching played for comedy.
For so long, too. No, but those are great points.
And Artemis Gordon was pretty obviously trying to set him up to be killed.
It was just such a jarring experience between like a conceptual thing that felt kind of good and a bunch of shitty annotated jokes that pull you out of the experience. Like, oh, God, the lynching scene was the epitome of that.
The touch my breast scene was the epitome of that for me because we've already discussed that Artemis Gordon's scientifically accurate boobs or whatever that he was wearing in his drag 19th century hooker costume. Where that goes on for like 2 minutes, and not only is that the scene where, it's a guy wearing fake boobs, it's M. Emmett Walsh reacting to it and like making homophobic jokes about how I knew it.
Buckwheat doesn't have the mouthfeel of real titties.
Who was that for? I mean, I know it was back in the 90s when just any hint of that was inherently hilarious, apparently, but it just did nothing for the movie.
It was targeted at us at 14 years old. That's what it was.
Other 14-year-olds like President Clinton.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when he bounced them titties, it was pretty good. Mm-hmm. Right. It was pretty good.
Well, Hillary, I think your titties do feel like filled with buckwheat.
And Monica's feel like they added some water to them.
Oh, God. Please end this.
Papala Jones wouldn't let me test them out.
So how about that?
I was thinking of a follow-up to that, but I got nothing.
Well, I got
pretty good this season.
Kind of like my Kosovo pullout. I got nothing.
Nothing like pulling out of a joke in the middle of it. I mean, you know, when we're talking about titties.
Leaving all of your bad ideas just all over everyone's chest.
The bigger the better. Better to forget them.
You know, I thought when I got the office I could get a Jennifer Aniston, but no.
Here's the thing about
Jennifer Flowers, the best I could do.
It depends what Epstein's testimony shows up.
What testimony? He's dead.
You know, the woman who is grooming people. Still alive. She's in prison now.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Here's how this is all going to go down. 1, 2, 3. Problem with this movie is there's no point to any of it. It shouldn't exist. Like, someone saw The Fugitive. Okay, so here's how. I'll give you a little peek behind the curtain. We were going to do 2 movies a month because we've now reduced to every other week. And we were thinking, hey, it'd be fun to do a made-for-TV month and do a terrible movie and a good movie, like we've been talking about before. You've heard this if you've been listening. the good movie was going to be The Fugitive, the bad movie was going to be Wild Wild West, and then we realized what we're going to talk about in a minute here. We want to give you guys the choice. We started with The Dark Crystal because so many people requested The Dark Crystal. We thought it'd be a good episode.
Dark Crystal.
It turned out to be a shockingly boring movie.
Darn, I was just about to do that. But at least Wild Wild West was more lively and entertaining. Dark Crystal was soporific.
But it was smarter.
They do have a cool exhibit at the Atlanta Puppetry Museum.
They do.
Check it out.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
go down to the Center for Puppetry Arts. Jim Henson's whatever is left, the company, the foundation, gave them the rights to a bunch of cool shit. It's really phenomenal. If you're in Atlanta, it's one of the best places you can go other than, say, Sweetwater.
How about the Varsity?
I don't like to shit my brains out, but if you feel congested or, you know, constipated, the Varsity, and I love the Varsity, I've eaten there a lot, but, you know, it's once the season for spring cleaning.
So we watched a movie, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Is this where we do our final thoughts?
Well, I will say.
I was getting there, but things took a turn.
Well, this movie had no idea what it'll have.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, the point of all of what I was saying was, a few weeks ago when we watched a movie, it was focused but boring. This movie is no idea where it's trying to go.
Oh, Jesus, we didn't even get into the scene with Will Smith in drag and Kenneth Branagh. Yeah, Ebony.
Pretending to be some kind of Middle Eastern belly dancer,
what
I guess.
What the hell was up with that?
Well, because he's been making fun of Artemis Gordon for cross-dressing the entire time. Now he has to do it. The irony.
I get that was the point. It just didn't really feel emotionally effective.
Well, it had no purpose because, like, Artemis Gordon had, like, a lab to do cross-dressing because he was secretly doing Rocky Horror a century before it came out.
He was a man ahead of his time.
Right. Where does Ebonia get any of her drag shit?
Plot hole.
Yeah.
Well, it's...
Plot hole?
This entire thing is plot holes.
Means...
Or maybe it's the cabinet on the train.
No. Here's the thing. I'm not correcting you because it is a quote-unquote plot hole. But a plot hole means that, like, in the momentum of the movie, you don't notice it until later. When it happened, we all noticed it. Everyone was like, you see what I'm saying? Like, he just shows up in drag for no reason. That's why I said Tyler Perry. Right? It's a sketch off Mad TV.
Well, at least Tyler Perry had lines and actually established the characters.
35 feet of small intestine!
Oh, good lord.
Which is most of it, I think.
I thought he was funny.
You suspend disbelief that the segues don't exist in this film. They don't.
That's right if he's the only character. If it's a monologue. If everyone else is speaking Spanish and he's like, I want to make the South rise again. Me gusta.
Except that wasn't even his goal. It was apparently to just destroy the U.S.
Third
completely.
Act, his plot changes.
Vengeance and losing the entire lower half of your body can do a thing.
But they didn't even establish like who he was for the Confederate Army. They just said he was a part of it. And why did he care so much?
Well, and also,
I think he talked about how much he'd sacrificed and gained nothing from
you
it.
You know what would have been helpful? If there was like a scene or at least him explaining how he lost the lower half
Cold
of his body.
Kills Robert E. Lee.
A comedic flashback to a guy getting his blown in half. That could be pretty funny.
Yeah, why not? Why not?
I mean, at this point, there's no dignity in this movie.
Because it would be the darker film I'd like to see. That's the problem.
Oh my God! You know what? Tarantino's Wild Wild West.
That's what I'm saying.
Right?
Briscoe County Jr.
With raw-dogging a woman in the city's water supply. We're halfway there.
With feet shots. You gotta have the feet shots.
Oh my God. A foot just...
Loveless gets hit by artillery fire, and you see like his leg flying, and the close-up shot of his foot as it tumbles through the air.
One of the giant spider at the end's 8 feet have high heels on.
You know, Will Smith was supposed to be Django in Django Unchained.
Yeah, it was the first pitch,
and he turned it down.
Because idiot. He, I mean, despite After Earth, he has dignity.
Oh, now Django Unchained is great.
Does dignity pay the bills in Hollywood?
Negative.
Django is right. It's a good movie. It's a fucking great movie. I want to know what that contract looked like. Really? I mean, no, and it's not judgment. I love Samuel Jackson. I love the people in Django. Who's Django? It's the guy.
Jamie Foxx?
I think so.
I was going to say Ray Charles.
No, good.
Of course.
Might be a little problems hitting what he's shooting at.
Yeah.
But Ray is awesome in it. Jamie Foxx is awesome in it.
Right, right.
Will Smith could have had a career.
Well, it's kind of sad now because he was like the king of Hollywood for a while up until about the mid-2000s, and certainly by After Earth, that went to hell.
And then we gave up black people.
Oh, jeez.
You know I'm right. Idris Elba could have replaced him, but they said,
You're better on a half season of The Office.
Who?
Idris Elba.
No.
Yes, he was.
He was in Hobbs and Shaw.
No, you're right. He was good there. Did you see Hobbs and Shaw?
No, I hadn't had time.
Then don't comment on it.
But he looked pretty... In the commercials, he looked pretty cool.
He's been in like a dozen movies. I thought he was good in the third Star Trek.
He's in the fucking Cats movie.
And we're done with it. We're done with
so?
So, I
he
mean...
He was also rolling in the Dark Tower. That was pretty fun.
Well, you know what? Well, first and foremost, that was a huge bomb. And second, you know, he's doing what every actor does. He should be Bond, yeah.
He should be Bond.
So, without further ado, our 200th, I guess wrap-up.
Oh.
Let's start with that. Would you recommend this?
Just to see once, maybe rent it, because it is so funny but so dumb. So, I guess.
Would I recommend this? Hell no. It depends on the medium. If you can pirate this and you just took a giant hit of salvia, maybe. But no, not really.
Oh, so that's what you do on the weekends.
Yeah. I mean, it's casual racism, and the jokes don't land, and the steampunk is cool, but it in 2019, it's not. No, absolutely not. Not for me.
Sudsy?
Ah, good Lord. This is a movie that was absolutely designed by committee. It's just a whole bunch of random parts that they put together in the hopes that they would be successful because Men in Black had been successful, and that was equally tenuous because at the time, you know, Will Smith was still relatively untested. They tried so hard, but they completely missed what was charming about that, about Will Smith in the first place. And the script is terrible. Some of the visual effects, especially the practical effects, are okay, but the CGI is terrible. The most of the acting is terrible. The writing is terrible. Good Lord, this was a real slog to get through.
Can you give us one redeeming fact about this film?
Well, I like the practical effects, especially some of the initial steampunk effects, like Dr. Lovelace's wheelchair when he's twirling around and there's actual steam coming out of the little smokestack on the back. That was actually a good special effect, but also at the first act especially, some of Will Smith's lines kind of work. Mostly when he's reacting to other characters, like when that prostitute tries to reach for a gun and he points his gun in her face and goes, well, that would be mighty bad career decision, or whatever the line is. That was fine. That actually would have worked in like an old Western, but as it went on, they just had no clue what they were doing.
I mean, I guess I get to wrap this up. This is a baffling movie. That's kind of the biggest problem, right? Like, you guys are all right. There are some satisfying parts. There's some good practical effects. There's some humor, especially when Will Smith is being established. but it's based on his charisma. And then they suck it out of him. It's really almost a study in bad producing. It's though they're like, what if we could tune him down and tune him down, right? Like, I don't know people who work in Hollywood other than someone I know who is a super right-wing person who accidentally produced some stuff because that's how you make money out west. It's like shockingly out west, like Trump voter supporter type, whatever. You know, that's what happens when you go to school in Ohio. Sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some.
Sometimes you become an astronaut and get the fuck off of Earth.
Right. But, like, there's all these little bits to this movie where you're like, oh, that was an idea that could have worked. This movie is an exemplar of failure. Right? Like, there's charismatic actors and actresses. You wash out. You take the. How do you take Will Smith in a charismatic comedic performance and then make him nothing? At the end of this, I don't root for him, really. Kenneth Branagh, a Shakespearean actor who should not be in this movie, he's a wet fart the entire time. 35 feet of small intestine. We didn't even talk much about this movie because, frankly, everyone saw this movie and was sad.
We talked about enough to get the point across, I think.
If you haven't seen this movie, it'll show up on Netflix. You'll watch 20 minutes and be sad. Like, I mean, that means Matt, out of 5, will give it like 8. But none of the
I think your math isn't adding up.
What are you going to give this?
I don't think I'm going to blog a review about it because I'm kind of busy these days.
You know what? That's actually a zero review for Matt there.
Matt, this is this is worse than Secret Life of Pets 2.
I haven't seen Secret Life of Pets 2.
I don't have
2.
The time of day for this shit.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, this is a movie I rewatched because there was a podcast to be done.
Actually, I also want to close with this, if I haven't said it already. Please. 19 years in, fuck you, the Willennium sucks.
Yeah. Well, in there, other than to say, season 6 is trucking along. If you haven't been following our Twitter, that's on you. But thanks to our fans, they have voted. Next month, which is September, we will be doing a month on hunting humans for sport movies.
We're doing Global Warming Month, so tune in. It's going to be great.
So what, the day after tomorrow and then nothing?
We're doing No. This involves humans with guns other than real life. Oh, wait, let me try that again.
So Chipotle morning, got it.
Imagine you're not in a school or a public place. This is hunting humans for sport in another way. But we're going to do that for September. We have 2 movies picked, and they will come out, of course, every other week because that's what we're doing now. And then in October, we already have a month, which is some heavy hitters. We're going to do a Michael Myers, Jason Voorhees, and a Freddy Krueger month to see who's the best ever, at least in their first movie.
Mm.
So thank you for supporting us in season 6, since we've now apparently starting our 6th year doing this horrible podcast. All 36,000 of you, thanks for supporting us.
36,000 of you are victim to our bad jokes and my extreme lack of taste.
Yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a perfect summary of what these
out of the horse's mouth, I guess. I'm still tall and masculine, and all of the people around this table have brown hair and white skin. So stay tuned next week and every future week as a bunch of white guys tell you what to watch and whether your past holds up for that.
Wicka wicka wow wow. Wicka wicka wow wow wow. Wicka wicka west. This the road to the wild wild west.
Take a stroll west until the wild the wild west.
Oh, you know why not?
We are tormenting the cat as we speak.
And
there's your fucking wrap up.
Yeah, we're done.
I couldn't resist. Wicked wild, wild. Wicked wild, wild. Wicked wild, wild. Wicked wild, wild west. Jim
gunning this, brother running this, Buffalo soldier. Look, it's like I told you, any damsel that's in distress, be out of that dress when she meets.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.